From the Maine Public Broadcasting Network, here's the news for This Day in Maine, Wednesday, August 24th, 2016. I'm Andrew Catalina, in for Barbara Caridi. And on this day, President Barack Obama has officially designated the Katahdin Woods and Waters National Monument. The land, some 87,500 acres east of Baxter State Park, was formerly owned by Roxanne Quimby and has been at the center of a controversy for years. We have that story as well as reactions from locals and officials both in support of and in opposition to coming up after this.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners and Kennebec Valley Community College, offering a late start semester beginning September 26th, kvcc.me.edu.
First, a correction to a story from yesterday. Mal Leary reported that Governor Paul LePage had vetoed a bill to study electric cars and their contribution to highway funding. He opposed the study, but he did not veto it. We regret the error. Supporters of what's now known as the Katahdin Woods and Waters National Monument are celebrating the addition of 87,500 acres to the national park system tonight. The property east of Baxter State Park has been at the center of a fierce debate about the future of the Maine woods for more than a decade, but the property's former owner, Roxanne Quimby, has seen her dream come true on the eve of the National Park Service's 100th anniversary. Susan Sharon has more.
The widely anticipated announcement was made official in a 9-page proclamation from President Obama Wednesday morning. In it, the president said Katahdin Woods and Waters contains an extraordinary natural and cultural landscape, including mountains, woods, and waters, and objects of significant scientific and historic interest. He highlighted the scenery and geology, and the strong ties to the Penobscot Indian Nation, along with the bygone era of lumberjacks and river drivers who once worked in these woods. For Lucas St. Clair, the news was hard to digest.
It really has just been a surreal morning, thinking that at some point the President of the United States sat down at his desk and signed this proclamation that recognized this part of the North Maine woods as one of America's crown jewels. It's so incredibly thrilling, and I'm just so excited.
Lucas St. Clair is the president of Elliottsville Plantation, Inc., who's been working toward this day for the past 5 years. St. Clair is also the son of philanthropist and entrepreneur Roxanne Quimby, who used her wealth to buy and conserve land in the Northwoods with the hope that it would someday be a national park or monument. St. Clair says it wouldn't have been possible without help from dozens of local volunteers who held kitchen table meetings, made presentations, wrote letters, and elevated the message of the campaign. Chief among them was the state's largest environmental group, the Natural Resources Council of Maine. Lisa Pullman is the group's director.
We started to see that pay off when just about a year ago there was a poll done that showed that nearly two-thirds of the people of Maine supported this notion of a national designation, and so it's obviously once people started to understand what it was all about, they got behind it.
Not everyone got behind it. Local votes in gateway communities to the monument rejected the national park idea by wide margins. The Maine legislature lodged an objection, and members of Maine's congressional delegation remained divided on the issue. Senator Susan Collins and Congressman Bruce Poliquin issued statements saying they didn't think the president should have used his executive authority given the lack of state and local support. But Congresswoman Shelley Pingree is a longtime park supporter.
I frankly think it's going to be great in the long run for that region. I think it's going to be a good economic boost.
The National Park Service wasted little time promoting its newest monument. Shortly after the White House announcement, a web page was activated with a phone number for future visitors to call. St. Clair says a superintendent and deputy superintendent have already been hired, and signs for the new monument should go up in the next day or so. But shortly, a series of public meetings will also be scheduled to discuss a management plan.
People will want to know, and the Park Service will want to know, what uses are important and how they want to see things managed. Are there trails that need to be built? How guides operate on the river? what are the important aspects of the history and heritage of the region that people want to have highlighted in the interpretation? Where might visitor centers go, interpretive centers go?
Hiking, camping, paddling, snowshoeing, and cross-country skiing are permitted in the main section of the monument, but on a smaller section, snowmobiling, hunting, and ATVs will also be allowed. And St. Clair says he's convinced that as more people become aware of how much is allowed and how special a place it is, they'll become supportive too. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Susan Sharon.
In other news today, the daughter of Governor Paula Page has joined the Maine team helping to elect Republican presidential hopeful Donald Trump. Christy Lee McNally, Trump's state campaign director, says Lauren LePage will become the campaign's coalitions coordinator, working with various groups to get supporters to the polls in November.
We have assembled a strong team of campaign staffers that is committed to building the grassroots enthusiasm that we saw in the primary that will turn out votes that we need to win Maine in November.
McNally says today's announcement is further evidence that Trump's team continues to grow in Maine.
Maine voters we hear from understand that Hillary Clinton represents a third Obama term, while the Trump-Pence campaign of tougher law enforcement, stopping illegal immigration, and bringing back jobs is resonating strongly across the battleground states.
LePage became involved in state politics shortly after her father was elected governor in 2010. She played a key role in his reelection bid and later became the director of a political organization, Maine People Before Politics, that supported the governor's policy agenda. Governor LePage has endorsed Trump and introduced him at all three rallies held in Maine. The Trump team also includes Leland Graves, a Bangor native who worked in 2014 to help Republicans take control of the state Senate. Republican U.S. Senator Susan Collins of Maine wants the manufacturer of the EpiPen to explain why the price has increased by 480% in recent years. As Patty White reports, Collins is concerned about access to the life-saving treatment for severe allergic reactions, particularly for seniors.
Collins, the chair of the Senate Committee on Aging, along with ranking member Claire McCaskill, sent a letter Wednesday to the CEO of pharmaceutical company Mylan. The senators say the price of EpiPens has soared from about $100 in 2008 for a two-pack to the current price of $600. They're concerned the life-saving treatment is out of reach for many individuals, including older Americans, which, according to information on Mylan's website, may be at increased risk for anaphylactic reaction from insects that bite and sting. As prices have skyrocketed, the senators point out it appears Mylan's profits have too. They want the CEO to provide a detailed explanation for the price increase within 2 weeks. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
The NRA's top lobbyist visited Portland today to attack efforts to limit gun rights in the U.S., including an initiative on Maine's November ballot that would stiffen background checks for gun purchases in the state. Fred Bever reports.
The NRA's Chris Cox condemned backers of the ballot measure as elitists who want to do away with the Second Amendment and other rights, too.
These people say they're smarter than you, more educated than you. They say their motives are more enlightened than yours. And they think their self-assigned moral superiority gives them the right to dictate to you how to live your life.
The proposal would require background checks for most gun sales in Maine and have it be conducted by a federally licensed gun dealer, with some exceptions, such as when a gun is needed in a self-defense emergency. Backers, including former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg, have contributed more than $2 million in the campaign to get the measure passed. As of the last campaign finance reporting period, the NRA had raised less than $40,000 to oppose the measure. In an interview, Cox said the NRA does plan a full-fledged campaign in Maine, including television ads. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
The Sarah Mildred Long Bridge won't be reopened to vehicle traffic. A gear failed over the weekend, preventing the bridge from lowering into its proper position. State Transportation Spokesman Ted Talbot says the fix is just too expensive.
Extensive repairs, upwards of $1 million worth of repairs, would have been needed to get this back operable. And even then, it wouldn't be necessarily guaranteed to operate smoothly and efficiently like we need to have it.
The bridge carries Route 1A across the Piscataqua River between Kittery and Portsmouth. It was due to be closed to traffic November 1st anyway to allow crews to build connections to a new crossing that's due to open to traffic in September 2017. Talbot says the early closing of the Long Bridge shouldn't affect that schedule. For the next year, drivers headed between Kittery and Portsmouth will have to use Interstate 95 or the Memorial Bridge on U.S. Route 1. And now back to the North Woods. While the monument designation has prompted a mixed reaction from Democratic lawmakers, Republicans in the Maine legislature remain largely opposed to the plan that they say will actually turn out to be a job killer in the Baxter State Park region. A.J. Higgins has more.
Millinocket Democratic Representative Stephen Stanley was among the first at the State House to oppose any effort to create a national park in northern Maine. Outgoing Democratic Senate leader Justin Alfond, however, says the Katahdin Woods and Waters National Monument holds promise for the state by offering new employment opportunities in tourism and sporting activities. House Republican leader Ken Fredette of Newport says that President Obama's unilateral action has betrayed the interests of all Maine residents.
President Obama's at the end of his eight-year cycle as president, and the people of Maine have spoken through their representatives in terms of passing a bill that said, look, we don't think this is the right action at this particular point in time. Governor signed that bill, and the president, in his arrogance, turns around and does just the opposite. And I think that is eroding, quite frankly, people's belief in our Republican form of government.
Republicans say the monument designation actually deals a serious blow to Maine's tradition of outdoor recreation, such as snowmobiling and hunting. And they fear the action will ultimately lead to the creation of a 3.2 million-acre national park that will hurt the state's forest industry. Governor Paul LePage agreed and issued a statement accusing Roxanne Quimby of using high-paid lobbyists in Washington, D.C. to stage an end run around the will of Maine people, convincing President Obama to use his authority to designate this area as a national monument. LePage says the president's executive order demonstrates that rich out-of-state liberals can force their unpopular agenda on the state. Walter Whitcomb, who serves as commissioner of the department that oversees state parks, said the federal government hadn't gotten much of a gift from the Quimby family.
The land that Roxanne has purchased isn't exactly Yellowstone or Grand Canyon. It's mostly flat woodland, some swampy flat woodland.
LePage says that Mainers must now realize that the political system is rigged against them by wealthy out-of-state liberals who made sure that, quote, the fix has been in all along. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm A.J. Higgins.
And predictably, reactions have been mixed from the towns involved in the monument debate over the past several years. Jennifer Mitchell has this look at what's being said in Millinocket and neighboring East Millinocket.
It's been a big topic of conversation at Millinocket's Appalachian Trail Cafe for some time. A gathering place for both locals and through hikers, folks were deep in discussion about the potential for a monument over coffee and eggs on Wednesday morning, and then...
Jesse.
Yes, sir.
Jesse, Obama just signed it. You got it. Dad just signed it.
I called it, didn't I?
Dude.
I'm not taken aback by it at all. I was kind of mentally prepared for it, and I think it's time to get to work and move on and be part of the conversation.
That's Jesse Dumay, a Millinocket town councilman and one of only a few on the council open to the national monument idea. Dumay says he had personal reservations about allowing that much forest land into the hands of the federal government. And like many, he says he was initially fearful of losing access or being stuck behind a pay gate. But he says as much as he'd like to see a new flurry of activity into the region's forest products industry, he has yet to see any plan to make that happen.
And change is scary sometimes. It's going to be a different area when it's all said and done. I mean, the mills left us in a great hole that we can't seem to dig ourselves out of. So we need help, and we need economic development, and this is part of that.
About 7 miles away in East Millinocket, the discussion on Selectman Mark Marston's front porch takes a different tone.
It's kind of disheartening to think everybody in the area is against this, and it's being shoved down our throat, all because someone's got money.
Marston says he was not surprised by the news, but calls it a sad day. East Millinocket's Board of Selectmen was overwhelmingly opposed to the monument, with just one selectman dissenting. Marston is visibly disappointed by the news. He's talking things over with a resident who has stopped by to discuss the issue. Philip Page worked for 40 years in the now-shuttered East Millinocket paper mill. Page doubts that the park will be the economic driver that some are expecting.
I don't believe it's going to create the jobs, and we all know it's not going to, that they claim it's going to. And, you know, for a lot of the communities have turned this down, and a handful of people shouldn't be trying to change it. And I just feel it's totally wrong.
And more than that, Page and Marston both say that with the announcement that President Obama had signed the order, the Central Highlands have been irrevocably changed. Marston describes it as the beginning of the end.
Our traditional culture of what we have always done, you know, free access and to hunt and fish and go where we want.
Marston says, contrary to popular belief, the rusting mill structure has drawn some interest from several parties who have talked of a potential forest products industry of some kind, but he says he's not at liberty to say more. A federally owned chunk of forest land can only get in the way of such discussions, he says. But others say they're tired of waiting. James Willis, one of the locals breakfasting at the cafe in Millinocket, says until someone comes up with something better, there's no reason not to embrace tourism.
Well, if you bring it to a community like Millinocket that has no paying jobs, I mean, low paying is way better than no paying jobs. People just had this idea that they wanted to say no to this.
But now President Obama has said yes, and representatives from both communities say the question now is how the area is to be developed and whether or not their towns will actually see any benefit. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Jennifer Mitchell.
And that's the news on This Day in Maine, Wednesday, August 24th, 2016. Our theme music was composed by Robert Holtz. Thanks to our news leaders, Keith Shortall and Susan Sharon, and to Fred Bever, Erwin Gratz, AJ Higgins, Steve Missler, Jennifer Mitchell, and Patty White for their contributions. We'd like to hear your thoughts on the podcast. You can rate and comment in iTunes or email us at tdim@mpbn.net. I'm Andrew Catalina. For all of us here at Maine Public Broadcasting, thanks for listening.